Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Android Guys podcast number 25. Today is November 2nd, and my name is Scott. I want to thank everybody for joining us this evening. Looks like we've got a pretty full agenda or outline. Meet the panel who's with us this evening. Actually, I'm trying to log into the chat room. Is everybody in the chat room?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm here, Scott.
I was in it, and they kind of kicked me out. Someone tried to get back in. There we go.
There you go.
All right. So let's go around the horn here and introduce everybody. I can see about five people here joining me. I've got Nicole. Hello, Nicole. How are you?
Hello. I am good. Thank you.
And we have Nick from HTC Source.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
No problem. Taylor, Android and Me.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me on again.
As always, a pleasure. And let's see, I think we have Sam. Is that you, Sam?
Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. Thanks for having me back, Scott.
No problem. And I think we have Andrew from Andronica. Are you on there, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks for having me back. Also, want to say hi to my dad. He told me he's going to be listening in tonight. So, hey, Kamika.
Awesome. Family. I got to get my wife to listen to one of these. Oh, an actual Android gal, so I have to get her to participate at least.
Yeah, she's got a phone now.
Right. And you know what? I can't get near that thing. I can't get a hands-on review. If you guys are listening, she just got the Motorola Click last week, arrived last Monday. I did an unboxing. I actually put it on our YouTube channel, but I didn't put it on the site. Played with it for about 10 whole minutes that day, and ever since then, it's like, I got to sneak into the bedroom when she's sleeping and grab it off the nightstand. Otherwise, I can't get near it. So she seems to love that thing. let's see here. Oh, one thing I wanted to go over real quick before we get started. I happened to log in to check the number of listens to our podcast last week. And typically, we had been averaging around 3,000 to 4,000 listens. With anywhere from 100 to 200 live participants in the chat room and or calling in. And I kind of expected that when I logged in, and when I did, I was very surprised to see that we crossed over 6,000 listens in the last week.
Wow.
So, amazing.
Wow.
I know, right? And the thing is, we didn't do anything special to promote it this week over last week. I think it's just a matter of people getting into Android that much more with, you know, the Verizon Droid, the Motorola stuff, Sprint. It's just really starting to pick up.
Android's milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
Right, exactly.
I think Motorola is doing your advertising for you. The bigger they grow, the bigger you grow.
Exactly. Let these other people do the advertising. That kind of brings up, I'll get to it towards the end of the show here, is the question of the week. We just posted that a little bit ago, was who do you think has done Android the best so far? And you can choose from the different carriers, but also the different handset makers. So it's...
Man, have y'all seen the onslaught of ads this week? Has everybody witnessed that?
I've seen a slew of HTC ads on TV, which is really cool, and a handful of the... some more of the MyTouch 3G ads. I haven't seen anything yet from anybody else. Of course, I don't watch too much live TV. What kind of ads are you seeing, Taylor?
Well, I've been watching a lot of sports, World Series, basketball, football, and they've been blasting them with all the ads. I've seen a ton of the Moto Blur ads. Moto Blur sponsored the World Series, but Verizon was also a sponsor of the World Series, so they've been playing a lot of the Detroit Dead ads as well. And then, of course, like you mentioned, I've been seeing those HTC U ads pretty much nonstop during all the sporting events. So
I mean, among those three, plus the MyTouch, I mean, it seems like every commercial break on some of these sporting events, you know, there's some type of Android-related app.
Right. And my wife, I knew that I had seen the commercial for the quietly brilliant stuff that HTC is doing with the U commercials, and I saw it on TV the other day, and as it just as it started, I didn't say anything to my wife. She had her face into the netbook on Facebook, and I wanted to see if the commercial would get her to look up. So I didn't say anything, but you know, it's got a nice, you know, catchy song to it, and the way the guy's talking about you need to do this, you want to do that, and she actually looked up and watched it, and then looked back down in the netbook, and then continued to watch the commercial, and she was like, "That's a pretty neat commercial." She's like, "Is that Sprint phone?" I'm like, "Yeah. That's an effective ad. It actually kept you from going back to your games and stuff that you're playing. So props to HTC. You were able to keep her attention for that, and it's a catchy commercial, and it's one of those ones where I don't find myself fast-forwarding because I think it's just a really cool ad, and I'm really happy to see that they're advertising themselves. And as you guys talk about advertising, I'm looking at the Blog Talk Radio at my side of it here, and I can see ads in the on their website for the MyTouch 3G, and I saw one earlier pop up for the Motorola Blur stuff on there. So these guys are really starting to get behind that. Of course, we're in the fourth quarter, so everybody's going to, you know, do a mad dash for the finish line, but it's really nice to see that type of stuff finally starting to, I guess, permeate the web tubes that are out there.
The only thing about the ads that is a little strange to me is that they, well, I mean, like Taylor said, they don't show Sprint, but that's because they're focusing on HTC as the brand, not the carrier service. But I don't know, saying that they're going to be bigger than Coca-Cola, I mean, if you think about it, Coca-Cola hasn't really done a lot of viral advertising lately. So, I mean, you could be more popular than Coca-Cola right now,
yeah.
I guess, but...
Well, it is the holidays. That's about the only time we see Coke ads now.
Polar bears.
Right.
The polar bears.
Yeah, and I mean, everyone knows it. It's a brand that's easily recognizable, and it's recognizable internationally. So HTC is going to really have to push forward if they want to be recognized in, you know, hundreds of countries across the world.
Well, HTC,
you know what?
Is kind of recognized in a lot of places, but they're not that known in the U.S. as a brand, and that's why they don't mention Sprint. These ads, it's a deliberate move by them. They want people to say, HTC makes the phones that I want, and then they're going to go look out for it, rather than, okay, HTC makes the phone that I want on Sprint. They want it to the commercials to focus on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
With what HTC is trying to do is, you know, they're simply trying to build their brand and not sell any specific phone. So, you know, they do feature the Hero, but from what it sounds like, they're going to be pushing out other commercials as well that are going to highlight their Windows Mobile phones. They're going to highlight the Imagio, which is on Verizon, which is a Windows Mobile phone.
So they can't highlight one carrier over another.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, in Europe, they've been running commercials for years. You know, you can search on YouTube and find their British commercials that they run, you know, over the last year and a half. And it's one of those things here. People own HTC phones, but they have no clue what the company is. So it's just trying to build that brand recognition, and, you know, you got to start somewhere.
Well, and it's nice to see that happen for them, as far as, you know, almost every phone I've had for the last 5 years has been an HTC phone, and, you know, to say to somebody, hey, you know, check out my phone, they go, oh, is it that T-Mobile phone? It's like, well, yeah, but it's an HTC, you know, they make it. And, you know, same thing with the Windows Mobile stuff that I had before with, you know, the MDA and the Wing. My wife had a Dash for a while. That's all, you know, it was all branded as T-Mobile, but we knew it was HTC just because, you know, we were a little bit more closer involved than the average person. So it's nice to see them kind of step out from behind the carriers and say, you know, you know, we're behind a lot of these phones that, you know, people have come to love over the last few years, especially smartphones. We're probably one of the biggest names out there. So, who wants to talk about any specific phones? Let's see, this week we saw the release today. Was it today that the Click went on sale? The second,
yes.
Right?
Yes, it did. It was in the T-Mobile store. I went and made sure.
But what if it wasn't? What were you going to do?
I was going to yell at the manager there because he knows me.
So the price on this one is $199, right? With
yeah, it seemed to have quite a bit of hype. There was a lot of people looking at it, and they only had, unlike the MyTouch display that they have at the front of their store, my local store, they only had one on display, and it was kind of weird because it was like Sidekick, Shadow, Behold, and then Click. And then G1, and then a dash. And I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, that's exactly what I saw on the T-Mobile store today. So it had 12 tie wraps around it, so you couldn't steal it from any angle.
Nice.
You couldn't open it. And there was no marketing around it. It just sat in the middle of three Shadows and beside a Touch Pro 2. And if you didn't know what it was, you would have known it that it was in there.
Yeah, I was asked, like, I was playing with it, and I had my phone on the counter, and my keyboard happened to be open, and someone was like, what is that phone that you're playing with? And I was like, oh, this is the new Motorola Click, and they were like, oh, what does that do? And I'm like, well, pretty much does the same thing this one does, except it has a few little tweaks. And, you know, I was kind of describing it to them probably more than the sales reps had time to explain, but I played with it for a little while. I've already formed an opinion on it, so.
Well, let's hear it. What's your opinion on the Motorola Click?
Well, there's a few things I don't like and a few things that I do. First of all, I love the fact that the lock button lets you toggle between Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. Like, you no longer need to download a separate widget to do that or do it through the menu. Something I don't like is the keyboard. I typed on it for a long time. I was typing out like a whole email just to kind of test it out and get a feel for it. And the backspace key and the enter key are like right on top of each other, so I kept hitting enter instead of backspace. And the space bar is really tiny, so I kept hitting like symbol and alt, which are on the sides of the space bar while I was trying to type on it, which seems kind of weird to me that you wouldn't make the space bar larger and not the symbol and alt keys as large as the spacebar or similarly large. So there was that. And again, my favorite pet peeve, the placement of the back button, is really far away when you are typing on the keyboard. And it seems kind of trivial, but I mean, if you think about how many times you use the back button on your phone, it's insane. So for it to be like all the way on the other side of the phone when you slide the keyboard open just seems kind of counterintuitive to me, for it to be like really far away from your hands. You have to, like, literally stop holding the keyboard, move your hand up, press back, and then continue doing what you're doing. Whereas, like, with the G1, since the back button doesn't move away from the keyboard, it's right there, so you can just hit it with your thumb instead of hitting the keys.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the screen. I think it looks really nice. I played with the Happenings thing for a little bit, logged in on some test accounts that I have for Twitter and stuff so that I wasn't giving, like, my information away. And I played with that a little bit. Didn't really like the whole functionality of the Twitter, because I'm sure everybody knows, like, I'm a real stickler for all functions of Twitter being available. So
never heard that before.
So I pretty much wasn't really too pleased with that, but it was all right. And I kind of thought it was weird that by default all of those widgets were on the middle home screen. And when I went to press home, I pressed it twice, and then the second time I pressed it, it opened the apps drawer, which I thought was kind of weird, and I thought it was just maybe a bug or something because there had been like a bunch of stuff downloaded on it already. So I tested the one right next to it, and it did the same thing. Like, I pressed home, it took me to the middle home screen because there's five, and then I pressed it again, and it opened the apps drawer. Is that normal?
I got one today, and I had this totally opposite reaction. So I kind of added it to the stable of 2G1s, a MyTouch 3G, and an Arcos 5 today. And I actually liked it, but there is something Nicole, what you said. So sometimes I'll push the home button on it, and it pulls up the dial pad or the market or something else. So I figure I just played around with it a little bit till the battery ran down. It's uncharged now, but it did that a couple times.
That seems kind of crazy, doesn't it? I mean, you're like, oh, home button, and I'm used to holding it down and switching between applications and stuff. And I went to hold it down, and the app drawer just kept, like, opening and closing. So it's like, okay, I guess you can't do that on this phone. Maybe they have that disabled. You can't switch between tasks.
One thing other than the UI, I didn't hear you mention, though, but the phone has a solid feel. I really like that compared to
I do like the overall physicality of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has a pretty solid back feel to it, and it the sliding mechanism is pretty good. The trim on the phone is really nice looking. Looks incredibly hard to put a case on. It'll be like really awkward, kind of like the Samsung Gravity, but still possible to put a case on it if you drop your phone a lot, which I drop mine all the time. I'm really slick like that.
Well,
so.
That was the biggest fault of the phone. I found that just holding it, though, that I can't believe Motorola didn't give it some kind of the back, the soft grip back or something like that. That plastic is really slippery.
Yeah.
The battery cord.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. I noticed that, too, that it didn't feel like it. I thought, well, this feels a little like I would drop this much quicker than I have on my G1. Like, as I was holding, I thought, wow, my G1 actually feels like it has a grip to it now, like a nice, you know, rubbery feel. But then after playing with it standalone, you know, separate from it, I'm like, what was I even thinking? This thing just feels generic. It just happened to feel not as shiny or slippery.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I mean, overall, it felt like a pretty good device. I mean, I'd probably have to use it for a good couple of weeks to form a really solid opinion on it as to whether or not the battery life was as terrible as rumored. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you'll hear more from your wife, but she's not really a power user, so
It's
not like she's going to run the battery dry like I would every day.
Right, and she's got the car charger, so she, you know, she takes advantage of that. What do you guys think of Blur? Have any of you guys, any of you other guys here on the podcast had a chance to play with the phone, or what do you think of Blur as, you know, an option or alternative to, you know, your stock vanilla Android experience?
I actually got to play with it last week. I went into the T-Mobile store and just happened to get the right sales rep, and I asked him, you know, I think it was like Tuesday of last week, and they had one in store, and he let me play with it. They said one of their reps was taking it home every day, just testing it out, learning how to use the phone. So she had all her, you know, Moto Blur set up with all the different accounts and everything, and it seemed nice, except, you know, I think we've mentioned it before, it just seemed a little cluttered. You know, you have the icons and the widgets right there on the home screen, and, you know, one notification takes up, you know, the entire widget, so all you see is the one notification, and you have to open it up, and you scroll, but, you know, each scroll is one notification, so it kind of takes, you know, if you have 300 friends on Facebook, it takes you 25 minutes, it would seem, to, you know, scroll through, you know, 15 to 20 different, you know, updates from your friends. So that kind of pushed me back a little bit. I mean, the interface was nice. It's just that it seemed a little too cumbersome to see, you know, 6 or 7 messages. You have to flick 6 or 7 times to get through each message, you know, to get to that 8th or 9th message.
Right.
Yeah, I did notice that. It seemed kind of crowded. Like, everything seemed crowded, especially on the home screen.
I wish you could resize it. I don't have a problem with what each widget can do, especially given 5 desktop screens instead of the 3, but I really don't like having to be told you get to choose. If you want this, it's this size. I would love to have the 4 across by 1 or 2x4, you know, whatever sizes, you know, other widgets are available on. And I don't think it does justice for a lot of people when they get these, you know, notifications. You know, some people, their Facebook update is a little bit longer than, you know, a tweet or something like that, but it's nice to be able to see all that without feeling like it's crowded, especially the way it comes out of the box with the weather and some of the apps and some of the other stuff just all crammed in on that, and then you pick a half-busy background, you just have your phone looks like a hot mess. I told her, I said, give me that phone, I got to clean that thing up before you start playing with it, but I love the idea behind it, but I think it could be, with a little bit of adjustment, I think Blur could be something else.
Well, with HTC Sense UI, I mean, when you go to the People app, you know, you can scroll through over to updates and see people's Facebook updates, but they did the complete opposite. They limited the updates to one line.
Mm-hmm.
And so you scroll through and you see half a status update. You see the first three or four words. So HTC has gone one way and Motorola went the complete opposite. So, you know, you just have to find the medium there to see, you know, what actually users want to see, you know, if they want to see everything, if they want to see just a snippet of it, or who knows.
I have a question for you guys. Now that the Click is on the market and everyone's had a chance to touch it and use it in their homes and stuff, do you guys think that it's a device that's geared specifically to maybe a younger crowd as far as the social networking goes? Do you think it's kind of like a Sidekick replacement? Because I was talking to someone earlier and we were discussing how a lot of people my age, which I'm 26 and older, are really not looking for constant Facebook updates. Like, we have a Facebook, but we go on there and read it when we feel like reading it. We don't need to see what everyone is doing all the time. And if we do, we have a Twitter. So
yeah.
I'm just kind of wondering, what age range do you guys think it is?
When it first came out, everyone assumed that it was going to be for a younger audience anyway, based on the form factor, how cartoonish and kiddie it looked. Everyone said, well, I guess all the people that want to upgrade from their Sidekick and they want to get a big boy phone or whatever would go to the Click. And I think that's kind of what's happening, because I know some people who switched from the Sidekick, they wanted something that was easy to use but still had a little more features. And the Click is kind of that middle ground. It's an Android phone. It has the social networking options. It has all the integrations. So in a way, it's definitely going for a younger audience. You can even see in that commercial they have where you have all the tons of people running at you and you're allowed to filter to that one girl. It's a young guy and he's going after the girl. It's the interaction between young people. I think they're definitely going after a younger audience with that phone.
No,
right.
I was going to say it really just depends on how you use it. I mean, you don't have to – if you don't have Twitter accounts and MySpace and Facebook, you don't have to use it that way. I mean, you can still use Blur, I believe, to integrate with your Exchange account. So you can still use it for corporate email if that's your pleasure, right?
Yeah, and
yeah.
I'd say I'm probably one of the older guys on the Android guys, on the podcast tonight. And
that's what you think, Sam.
What I think I am. I'm probably one of the older ones. I'm 37, so maybe if you are older than me, you know.
I'm still young.
Do what?
But
I just use it as a regular phone. So when I took it out of the box, I did the opposite, kind of what Scott did. You know, I took everything down, then put everything on that I wanted to use. But all the stock stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you do you find the keyboard difficult to use? Are you annoyed with the backspace and space key like I am?
Yeah, I was for a few minutes, but I was before Android. I was a BlackBerry guy for about 6 years, so. All the
gotcha.
Factors of all those BlackBerries in the past since 99.
So you're used to all of your keys being basically the same one all on top of each other. Got it.
Uh-huh, yeah. I mean, I used to have those little Motorola flip pagers from the late 90s, so.
My
yeah.
issue with the keyboard was more the top row. I mean, the way I use my G1, the spacing of the keys, you know, you can get your full finger on that letter and push it down, but with the top row, there's just the plastic right above it, just for me, it was hindering my thumb from pressing down on, you know, firmly on the top row of keys. I really didn't have an issue with the backspace or the space bar, but if I can't type those top letters,
yeah.
It's kind of hard to put in a message.
Right.
Well,
speaking
one thing I did miss was the G1 4-0 keyboard. I don't like doing Alt for numbers, though.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I really like the keyboard.
I did notice that the home screen does not go into landscape unless the keyboard is open. I found that a little strange. Is that a setting or?
No, stock Android doesn't change unless it's rooted. It doesn't change
no,
either.
No, it does.
Yes, it does.
Doesn't it? Yeah, even on a regular phone, you have to go into settings to enable.
Yeah, that's why I was asking if it was a setting.
Yeah, there's actually an application that should allow you to tweak that as well.
Oh, because my son has a stock Android on 1.6, and it doesn't do that, and I have the orientation check.
It should. Mine does.
Yeah,
okay. I have one. Yeah, I have one stock G1 and one rooted G1, and I'm sure that the stock one does it because I'm on it right now and it's doing it, so.
Okay, I'll play around with that. It's, yeah, you're right, though. The click does not do that, and I went in there and I was like, oh, bummer, because I liked it, you know, like the holding it landscape most of the time with the keyboard closed.
Mm-hmm. Question with that, does anyone know if the blur home screen can be turned off and you can go to the regular home screen, just like you can on the Hero?
Just get rid of it and go back to... I gotcha.
Go back to stock Android?
It's a good question. Anybody know that?
What's the question one more time?
If you can turn off the blur home screen and go back to the traditional Android home screen, because you can do that with... You can turn off Sense on the Hero and go back to the Android stock, you know, app launcher with three screens.
I don't believe so, but I don't get to look until tomorrow, so I don't know.
I don't remember seeing that in the options, but, I mean,
yeah,
you know,
well,
like
it,
I memorized
it's
them
not
all
in
either.
Option.
What you have to do, you have to go under applications and turn off the default setting. So let's say you have two Twitter clients and you have one set up as default.
Mm-hmm.
If it has the regular Android Home app installed on it, if you turn off the defaults when you push the Home button, it'll give you the option to open. It should give you the option to open Home or, you know, Moto Blur Home or whatever it would be. You'd get the same option as if you installed a third-party home screen replacement.
So the clear defaults and apps?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like somebody in the chat room said they're calling T-Mobile right now to get the answer. Good luck.
Good luck with that one. I don't think they're going to get that one for you.
They're going to say, that's a good question. I don't know. Maybe you should check our forums. So,
yeah, I got one final gripe. We touched on it last week, but I don't know if anyone mentioned it today. The my only gripe really with the click and the motor is that it's based off of Android 1.5.
Right.
You know, so it lacks the new Android market. We had a story up this morning. They also shipped the phone with some other bugs. It won't play some of the more advanced games. And it looks like it might not be updated for a while. According to T-Mobile, they told me basically, you know, it's in Motorola's court whenever this thing gets updated. So it could be a while. I've heard there's a 2.0 update in the works for Blur, but I have heard no confirmation on any time frame for that. So that's just my last little
Yeah,
grade.
That's actually surprising because Motorola got a look at 2.0 before anyone else. So
right.
You think someone
yeah.
would have got the idea, hey, since we're working on this before anyone else does, maybe we ought to put this on one of our flagship devices that's supposed to save the company.
Right.
Well,
you know, I
think what it comes down to is Verizon. Well, we can talk about this later. But Verizon has some kind of exclusive with Android 2.0. I've got some other information related to T-Mobile now. We can hit that later.
Absolutely. The other handset that I wanted to touch on that was released this week is the Samsung Moment. It came out, I guess, yesterday would have been the first. They do theirs on Sundays at Sprint, don't they?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That one is $179 after mail-in rebate and a two-year agreement, of course. Taylor, you had a chance to play with this at CTIA. And I've got an email from a friend who had the chance to play with one at a Sprint store today. What was your reaction to that handset?
You know, I think it's really nice if you're on Sprint. I mean, if I had to choose between the Hero or the Moment, my personal preference, I would go with the Moment. Just, you know, it's got the full keyboard, it has a faster processor, it's got a flash on the camera. You know, I just like the spec for spec. I like the Moment. There's a couple of nitpicky things that I complained about. I think we talked about this previously. The touchpad on the front is a little wonky, but you know I only had a day with it, so maybe there's just a learning curve on that. But I didn't really care too much for the touchpad. I much would have rather seen, you know, a trackball or something different. So
that's
my only really complaint. And then again, just like the ClickFunnels, I think that the Moment is also shipping with Android 1.5.
Right.
But same thing with the Sprint Hero. So both those phones have older versions of Android.
And that's pretty similar to what my friend emailed me. He said, if I can find it here, he said, it's definitely bigger than the Hero in terms of thickness. It's probably closest to the G1 in terms of thickness. The keyboard feels pretty good. They're spaced out real nice, easy to type. He liked the screen quite a bit. He says, the only things I didn't really care for was that it was a basic Android phone. And this is from a guy who just switched to the Hero. So he's using Sense, and he was telling me how much he likes having all of that stuff integrated now, and how it's much, more aesthetically pleasing than your plain vanilla Android. He says, being a thick phone, he goes, I've had the Hero, the MyTouch in the past. He's had an iPhone in the past. He says it just feels bigger and heavier. He goes, however, over time it could feel. It could be something he could definitely get used to. He said the directional pad was okay, but I couldn't really, stop exactly where I wanted to on it because it feels like it moves better up and down than it did left to right for me, but that may take some getting used to. Was that what you experienced with that as far as, did it feel like it was like a slide, four-way only type thing?
From the touchpad?
Yes.
I only play with it on the home screen. It'd be really interesting to try it in some of the games or other applications, but I really play with it on the home screen and the menus. And I don't know, it really just kind of felt wonky to me. I don't know a good word to describe it. But it was just real touchy, And then you have a row of touch buttons right above it. So as you're swiping your thumb across this touch button, you accidentally will hit the menu button or the back button or the other buttons. So I really didn't care for that aspect of it, but I guess with repeated use, it's just learning curve, something you get used to.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't used the Moment yet, but I've used a Samsung phone with their optical touchpad in the past, and it does support multi-directional. It's just like a touchpad on, your laptop or something like that, except it's optical. And I've used it on a Windows mobile phone in the past, and it works pretty good. But I wouldn't replace it for, a trackball or something like that. So, I mean, it's a personal preference thing, but it does do the job. It just takes a while to get used to.
Mm-hmm. It's nice to have just another hardware choice, and that's something that I think people are starting to realize in my everyday life that I talk to, as they see, another week, another announcement, another phone, stuff that they just kind of pick up casually. They like the idea of being able to choose the hardware, and that's something that appeals to them, as they compare the two iPhone. Is now they say, oh, man, I can actually decide whether or not I want a trackball or a slide-out QWERTY. And not only that, I'm not stuck by carrier either. I can actually decide I want something that has a physical keyboard, and I want to get something like that for Verizon or for Sprint or T-Mobile. You can actually choose the carrier now. So that choice is definitely starting to show one of Android's benefits is you get to pick, what direction you want to go with it. As long as they all play with the same apps and do the same thing, then everything should be good. So tomorrow is the day that we get to see what it is that Sony Ericsson is touting as what's next. We all have a pretty good idea as to what they're going to announce. Anybody want to take this one and talk about it at all? I'll pull up the link to some of the video. Taylor, I think you were one of the first sites that I saw had that 20-second clip. Did you want to talk about the Rachel or the Infinity or Xperia X10, whatever it's going to end up being called? We'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, well, we can – I'll let you all talk about some of the tips, but I could talk about some of the rumors. I've heard over the past couple of days and weeks that this thing is definitely going to come to the United States. The question is, which carrier will it land on? This is going to be a GSM phone, so it's either looking, you know, T-Mobile or AT&T. AT&T, as y'all know, doesn't have any Android phones in the market yet. T-Mobile's been there since the beginning. So I am super interested to see which carrier this phone lands on, because it's going to be a beast when it comes out. There's going to be, you know, a true second-generation phone, which is something the T-Mobile fans have been crying out for. You know, everybody that has T-Mobile would probably love to get their hands on this phone. So we'll have to wait and see. I don't know if they will announce a carrier tomorrow, but over the next couple of weeks here before Christmas, I think we will definitely see that carrier revealed.
Mm-hmm. I read somewhere that someone's tweet saying that it's not on T-Mobile's bands. I don't remember who that was, but it wasn't. I don't think it was like an official thing. They just say they don't believe it's going to come out there. But then again, yeah, people were saying that with Hero, and then it ended up coming on Sprint, even though people were saying that, oh, it's on AT&T's band, so we'll find out tomorrow, hopefully. All I can say is I just pray that it's on T-Mobile, because I'm in desperate need of a next-generation phone, and I really don't want to switch.
Right. And I'm seeing a link here that, actually, of all people, David from T-Mobile News put in the chat room over on Slash Gear. They've got a walkthrough, and looks like about maybe 2 dozen photos have got their hands on one. So they're saying it's got a 4-inch capacitive touchscreen. They're saying it's a 1 gigahertz processor. Micro SD comes with 8 gigabyte in the box. 8.1 megapixel LED flash. And then it looks every bit like the video that we saw, the couple of videos so far. Looks like a very nice, and I don't want to use the term European, but it has a nice, distinct feel to
worldly.
There we go. That's a perfect word. Worldly. I need that phone, I think. Pretty sure.
You know, reading the report here, they're saying, you know, it's not going to come until first quarter of 2010, and yet they're still saying it's going to come with Android 1.6.
That would be a faux pas. That would be terrible if it's.
Yeah, well, I mean, that comes back to what we were talking about earlier. I've heard several handset makers say, you know, no Android 2.0 until 2010. Who knows? I mean, we will find out here over the next couple of months, but I think Verizon has it locked up.
Let's talk a little bit about that. Do you have anything else? I mean, obviously, people, you know, of handset exclusivity. What about OS? Is this that the case that we're talking about here, that this might be, you know, we get dibs on 2.0 for, you know, 6 months or a quarter or whatever?
I'm actually just seeing a post from Engadget that they just did a hands-on with the Xperia X10, so I was looking to see if they mentioned anything about the Android for the phone.
What do you guys think of exclusivity? Is that a good thing? And, you know, for an OS, I could totally see and appreciate handsets, but for an OS,
let's hope not. I mean, the whole point of putting out a better OS is so that you can get out better phones, and Google would simply be shooting themselves in the foot if they said, you know, only one phone can have the new OS. That just means they're selling other Android phones that are, you know, they're not crippled, but they don't have all the features that they should.
That it could have been the deal they had to make with Verizon, you know, in order to get them on board. I mean, we know how important it is to have Verizon on board since they're the largest carrier. So that might have just been the deal they made, or Verizon might have just paid them a boatload of money.
Well, I mean, it could have been, though, more of a deal just like it was with HTC when they put out the G1. You know, everyone knew that HTC was working directly with Google in order to get out the first Android phone. So, you know, it was HTC hardware. You know, Google put specs back to them. They said, build us this hardware. We want to put an operating system on top of it. So it could have been, you know, kind of the same thing with the Droid. But, you know, we've heard, you know, HTC's announced that they've had, you know, 2.0 in-house for a while now, and they're expecting to roll out 2.0 to the Hero, you know, before the end of the year, you know, considering that they do have to put out, you know, build the Sense UI on top of it. You know, that's reasonable that, you know, it's going to take them a little bit extra time to get it out of the doors. But, you know, who knows when it's going to be released, if it's going to be before the end of the year or not.
Right.
Yeah, I would definitely hope against them having version exclusivity, especially when you consider how fragmented Android is becoming. It takes a little bit of extra time to load the new version of Android on the Moto Blur or the Sense or now Rachel. So when you have these companies that are doing these tweaks to the whole entire Android system, for them to have to make their customers wait even longer, aside from the exclusivity deals that they make, would be very annoying. You're already seeing people and developers and consumers complain about how one phone has 1.5, another has 1.6, and the 2.0 and all that. It's just going to be a mess if they do it that way.
Hey, wow, that sounds like an article I wrote recently.
One quick note. I just was sent an article that we're still on the kind of on the subject of the Xperia, but they do have a note here saying the Xperia X10 supports UMTS, HSPA 850 and 1900, and those are the two bands for T-Mobile. So that's the first time I've seen that information.
Amazon.com. Yep, then I'm looking at the specs too. GSM 850, 900, 1800, 1900. And Gadget's got all the specs on here. It has...
And it has 1.6 on it.
Yep. The colors, it comes in luster white and sensuous black.
Ooh, sexy.
Yeah, sensuous black.
You know, Scott, I think one reason why 2.0 may be leading with Verizon right now and not the other, even the Motorola Click and the other HTC phones could be, you know, certification for the processor and for the chipset. I know in the Linux world, we don't certify an operating system until it certifies with everything, with drivers, processor, you know, whatever it takes to build the device or server or laptop or whatever. And I think 2.0 might be being released on Verizon right now just because of the, I think it's a TI chip, or is it the same chip that the iPhone 3GS uses or something like that? But
yeah,
that may be the reason why 2.0 is coming out on that particular device right now.
Well, if that was truly the case, I mean, all of these handset manufacturers should have equal access to the source code. I mean, if Motorola has access to it, you know, why shouldn't Samsung or Sony Ericsson or HTC have access to it at the same time? I mean, Google has not released. Go ahead.
So we kind of do the same thing in the Linux world, Taylor. So I manage a Dell account, and a colleague of mine manages IBM and HP, and all three of those OEMs have different versions of certified Red Hat Enterprise Linux that they'll support based on their resources and the certification efforts from Red Hat. And it's kind of like if you can dedicate people to it, okay. If you can't, then you got to wait, you know, until you can, you know, put some people on it to get it out the door.
Yeah. Well, Google, if they wanted to, they could release the source code, you know, tomorrow on their open source project. But for whatever reason, they've chosen not to release that source code yet. So I'm just curious, why is Google holding on to the source code for Android 2.0? Why haven't they shared that with everyone?
Well, with that, I mean, saying that the source code is released, that means it's released to the public. From what I've heard, members of the Open Handset Alliance do have not everybody, but do have access to the code. So, you know, different manufacturers do have the code because they are a member of the alliance, and, you know, they're part of this, and they're contributing to it. But it's not available to the open public yet. So
yeah, I would believe that by this point that they have it now that the SDK is out for 2.0. But I'm still questioning, you know, what was the order that these companies got access to it? Because
I'm just saying, from my belief, it doesn't seem like it was equal access. I mean, but I don't know. I don't know the whole story. I'm just speculating.
Well, but we have to sit back and realize, I mean, let's say Motorola did get access to 2.0 a couple months ago, but they were so far along with Moto Blur that it would take them an extra, you know, month and a half to get Moto Blur out, so they would have to push a release of a handset out a couple months if they wanted to put 2.0 on it. So it could have been a strategic plan to say, you know, if this is coming out, but we want to get some extra sales before then. You know, we want an extra couple months of sales. And, you know, Sony Ericsson could have done the same thing. They could have had the code for 2.0, or they could have known it was coming and said, you know, we want to, you know, we're so far along with what we have right now that it would simply wouldn't make sense to, you know, take a couple steps back, re-engineer things. Why don't we just do that going forward once the code is released to everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, two things real quick. Dan Morrill has pointed out, there are several thousand changes to do before it can be released. And, you know, that's like, that'll happen by like tomorrow, right? It's reasonable, right? And also that the bands that are on that Xperia are the T-Mobile Edge bands. So, yeah.
Boo.
That would be nice.
No, I saw UMTS 850 and 1900 on the spec sheet I was looking at.
Hmm.
Let me get to the end here.
UMTS.
Yeah, UMTS. HSPA 900, 1700, 2100. Yep.
Hmm.
On the last page.
I haven't looked at the full spec sheets, so I will take a look at those.
I'll paste the link now. You know, one last thing on this Android 2.0. You know, how do y'all guys think T-Mobile feels about this? I mean, they've been the number one supporter since day one, and now they have another carrier coming in here, and their first phone that they're launching, you know, is going to have this big Android 2.0, which everybody wants, and huge media hype right now. You know, do you think they're feeling left out at all?
I think that the phone will do well for them. I just don't see I see people still wanting to go with T-Mobile's plans. I mean, T-Mobile has the best value.
Right. Oh, I would agree, definitely. I love their plans.
Andrew,
you know it. Yeah, I'm sure T-Mobile expected it because they were the first one out the gate, so they didn't expect to always be, even though they were the first one to support it, they didn't expect to be like the favorite child or whatever. So they kind of knew that at some point Google wants to increase market share. They're going to throw a bone to the biggest carrier in the country. That's kind of expected to me.
But with that too, I mean, we don't know how long it's going to be before 2.0 is rolled out to the MyTouch 3G. I mean, it could be, you know, remember with 1.6, as soon as it was released, it was about 5 days later that T-Mobile announced that they were rolling out the updates to the G1 and the MyTouch. So it could be once, you know, it's officially released and the source code is made available to everybody, within a week and a half, T-Mobile could be rolling out the update to everyone as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that, you know, you're pointing out another one of my major gripes. With Android, it's just their entire release schedule. I mean, they really need to do something with their release schedule. I mean, you know, whenever Cupcake came out, there was like months and months of waiting, and then Donut shows up practically overnight without anybody knowing about it. It's really just seemed kind of like an inconsistent release schedule. You know, just from a developer's perspective. You know, if you want to, you know, make sure your existing apps work for the new release, as well as develop new applications which take advantage of new features. You know, it's kind of disappointing, just the release schedule that they've had. You know, there is no consistent release schedule, so it's kind of impossible to tell when these things are coming.
Well, I think with 2.0, I think things might slow down a little bit. I mean, I believe with the iPhone, it was a full year before, you know, a major update was made to the system. And with Android, we've seen, you know, incremental functionality increases, bug fixes, stuff like that. And hopefully with 2.0, a lot of the bug fixes are going to be taken care of. You know, there's a lot of new features that are included. So hopefully that will level things out. And, you know, Google will say, you know, 6 months will be the next update. you know, it does cause a lot of confusion to, you know, to users of the phones, because they get a phone that says, oh, we have an update for you. Mm-hmm. And 99% of the consumers have no clue what the updates do once they're rolled in.
Right.
True.
It definitely seems messy with all the different, you know, with 1.5, 1.6, and 2.0 all available in different, you know, versions with, you know, Sense and Blur. Everything just seems kind of like, I can imagine it's confusing to somebody who's standing there thinking, all right, I'm getting ready to, you know, jump into Android. Scott, what, you know, what direction should I go? Who do you think I should, you know, go for? And, you know, I like stock Android. I don't even have a rooted phone. Love it. And I know that the over-the-air updates are going to hit me, you know, as soon as they're available. I don't have to worry about HTC getting 2.0, working with it, and then pushing it out, or Motorola. You know, I don't have to worry about that. Granted, it's not as pretty at all compared to some of these other stuff that's out there. I'm looking at the Sony Ericsson. You know, if that's based off of 1.5, 1.6, that's gorgeous, you know, and it's confusing, especially for people who have half an education and think, you know, even my wife's asking me now, so if 2.0, you know, she heard that last week, she's wondering, is my phone going to handle 2.0? Is that something that's going to fit? You know, I hear you talking about how your phone may not, you know, handle the next big update, like, you know. People are starting to understand that, you know, with computers, people know, oh, I need more memory, I need a faster processor if I want the latest version of Windows on my computer. So there's some level of education, I think, that needs to be put out there, and maybe something that kind of levels the playing field and gets people, I think it would make people feel comfortable knowing, you know what, your phone has 1.6, but we're working on 2.0, and we expect to roll it out in the first quarter, so sit tight. You know, just a little bit more, I guess, conversation, you know, downward,
yeah,
with people.
Yeah,
I think would help a lot.
I got a statement from T-Mobile. They said they were collaborating with Google on Android 2.0, and we will inform you of any other updates. So basically they just said, yeah, we're working on it. But there was no time frame. No time frame was given with their statement.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Sprint. Sprint gave me the same statement today. They said, yeah, we're exploring our options with the handset manufacturers, but that's all you're getting. Which tells me, you know, it is going to be 2010. You know, if they were really going to have it this month or soon, don't you think they would be touting it now?
Right.
I haven't seen anybody eager to speak about it. It took me quite a while to get anything out of Sprint. I mean, I must have sent them a lot of obnoxious emails, but I'm very finally commented on it. But it just seems, you know, like they're kind of reluctant to talk about this stuff because it seems like they don't have an answer. Or
right,
they have an answer, but it's not the answer that we want to hear. So, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even talking to Sprint, though, getting Android 2.0 on the Hero is up to HTC and has really not, I mean, they can't do it unless HTC builds it, and then it's, you know, once HTC builds it, it's up to Sprint to simply push it to the handset or get it, you know, find a way to release it. But, you know, HTC, it just took HTC, you know, till last week to finally admit that, yes, they're going to roll it out. So, I mean, the carriers are in a bind, you know, if the manufacturers aren't on board with it.
Right.
You know, you just touched on another interesting topic, Sprint updates.
Oh, the over-the-air stuff, or lack of.
Yeah, Sprint has actually said that they're going to be doing wired updates via their Sprint.com website. So that will be interesting to see how that whole process goes. I know, like, for most people, that's not a problem at all. I just have concerns with, you know, the everyday user, like y'all are talking about. Y'all run into lots of people. They don't even, you know, realize their phone can get updated. You
mm-hmm.
know, I kind of like T-Mobile's model where they just push it out to everybody and, you know, they force it on you, you know?
I mean, mm-hmm. it actually gives you a warning, do you want to install this? But they still, you know, in the background, they download everybody's phones to make sure everybody has the latest updates.
Right.
You know, we can argue about that. People need these updates. We could argue about that forever, but I'm just talking about actually getting the update out there. You know, Sprint, they can do it over the, you know, from the PC, and I'm sure they can have some kind of notification system. You know, they can send text messages out to the phones and whatnot, but, you know, how many people are actually going to take the time to sit down, to download the software, to hook up the cable to the PC, to push the update down, you know? I'm sure
right.
the ones that want it, I guess that's all the...
Well, that's what happens
really.
On BlackBerry.
Yeah.
You just get text messages and, you know, it tells you if you want to go ahead and do it, and it gives you that
yeah.
little link on the T-Mobile / BlackBerry.com
I guess,
thing.
Yeah, I guess the big concern then would just be, since Android is, you know, based off of the Linux kernel, there are from time to time, you know, security exploits that come out. We've seen Google and T-Mobile, you know, routinely push out security patches. You know, how is that going to affect Sprint customers? You know, whenever they have all their entire personal life on their Android phone, all their personal email, all their passwords, you know, all their financial information, you know, how is that going to work, you know, with the speed of the updates, you know? Mainly.
Well, I mean, but in that case, though, Android's no different on the Sprint network than, you know, BlackBerry, than Windows Mobile, and any other operating system that exploits come out for. I mean, Windows Mobile, there's 1,001 exploits, and you know they have to go through the same process for updating. I mean, you either have to go to HTC's website or Sprint's website to download the update. So I mean, it's an issue if you're coming from T-Mobile and going to Sprint because you're used to one way, but you
mm-hmm.
know that's how the carrier operates on all their handsets.
Yeah, well, I just like more choices. I would like the option of a wired or a wireless update. That's
right.
What I would like to see a carrier do. Give me choices. Give me options.
Well, from
or
what
stop
I've
in
heard,
the store and get an SD card.
From what I've heard, the Sprint issue is based on the CDMA network. So if that's the case, Verizon might be in the same boat as well, because I know Verizon doesn't push out OTA updates to their Windows Mobile phones.
Yeah, you
so
know, I don't know because
Verizon might be in the same boat, and we just haven't heard anything about it yet.
Well, I haven't heard anything from Verizon, but I have heard definitively from Motorola that all of their Android phones will support over-the-air updates. They were very, you know, emphatic, pressing that point down. You know, whenever they defined quote-unquote smartphone, that was one of their key features, you know, in having a smartphone is over-the-air updates. So Motorola has said several times specifically that their Android phones will support over-the-air updates. So I'm quite interested to see how Verizon with their Droid phone, it's going to come with 2.0. So it looks like they're already working on 2.1 now. It's going to have some bug fixes for the Droid phone. So it'll be interesting.
Yep. Nicole brought up a point here about the Nook. We didn't put it in the you may have already heard about it or were a step ahead of me here. What's the deal with the Nook from Barnes & Noble and Spring Design with the lawsuit?
Well, first of all, the Nook has been insanely popular. Originally, if you ordered it, it would be shipped out on November 30th to you. And now they've sold quite a few of them, and they've pushed it back that if you order now, you won't get yours shipped to you until December 7th. So seems like it's doing pretty well, and that's for people ordering from the website or in the store. But looks like their glory is not going to be so long-lived. Spring Reader is issuing a lawsuit against them for basically stealing their design. They're saying that they worked hand-in-hand with Barnes & Noble. They've been working on their e-reader since 2006, having the dual screen with the bottom one using the Internet and the top one being the actual e-ink. But if you look at the two devices side-by-side, I know I've commented on this before, they look incredibly similar. The only thing is the Alex has a larger bottom screen, which I actually prefer because then you can actually use the Android browser and have some functionality on it. But the Nook has a really small screen down there. But looks like they have issued a lawsuit against them saying that they've stolen their design. So they haven't really said much about how that's going to pan out, but I'm interested in following the story, you know, especially since I work for Barnes & Noble.
Nicole, I have a question for you. Do you know, is Barnes & Noble going to be receiving, are all the stores going to be receiving their own shipments of these units on November 30th?
I think I actually covered this last time, so I don't know if I'm repeating myself, but it depends on the store. Stores that are A, B, or C. C stores don't really get them. They might if they're a really high-volume store, but only your A and B stores are really going to get them, which is going to be the stores that are in major metropolitan areas, usually are multi-level stores, have the space for something like that. Basically, if the store doesn't have a central customer service desk in the middle of it, because like small ones like mine do not, then you won't see the Nook at that store. But if it is a large store, especially if it's multi-level, you will see a display there. And it should be there before November 30th, actually. It should be on display, but if it's not, it will be there on November 30th.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is it looks like there's the potential that these pre-orders might sell out where if you wait too long, you might not be able to get yours before Christmas.
That's no, I don't think you will. I think we're very close to that point, actually.
Yeah. Well, for the people that failed to pre-order, that's why I'm wondering, like, are they going to be able to go sit in line out front of the store and wait overnight to get one at the stores?
I actually think they probably will be able to. They probably will release a certain quantity to the stores, but I would say that the best bet, if you think you want a Nook, is to pre-order one. They don't charge your credit card right away. They won't charge it until it ships on December 7th. So if you decide you don't want it until that time, you can cancel the purchase and not get charged for it. And even if you do, you have 14 days to return it as long as it's not opened. If it's open, then they will be charging a restocking fee, which is the first time that they're ever doing that.
I pre-ordered on day one, so I'm looking forward to getting mine.
I'm going to grab a couple of
Going back to the Alex lawsuit, does anyone know if it's based on patent or like something that's registered or just Alex accusing them of, oh, you stole my idea, I'm going to sue you? Because I know a lot of times when you deal with technology, there's obscure patents or something that no one knew about that is the reason why something won't be available for sale. I can't imagine a big company like Barnes & Noble would overlook something like that if they knew they were exposed to Alex's designs and ideas beforehand.
Yeah, well, the exact words are that they filed a lawsuit to protect their Alex ebook intellectual property, asserts that Barnes & Noble misappropriated the trade secrets and violated the party's non-disclosure agreement when it copied Alex's features into its recently announced Nook ebook reader.
That's about them interacting with each other and Barnes & Noble proceeding to take their idea.
To add to that, I actually read on Engadget that the developer for the Spring reader actually does have several patents that are pending right now. I don't know if they've been actually been granted any patents, but they have multiple patents pending for the design.
That could be what it is too.
They actually began, it also says in this article, they began filing their patents with the dual screen and it being Android-based back in 2006. And since the beginning of 2009, Spring and Barnes & Noble worked within a non-disclosure agreement, including many meetings, emails, and conference calls with executives ranging up to the president of BarnesandNoble.com discussing confidential information regarding the features, functionality, and capabilities of Alex. So it seems like, you know, a lot of those ideas that hadn't even been put into play yet were worked into the Nook. It kind of seemed like, you know, Engadget mentioned that the Alex site came out right away, and then next thing you know, the Nook was announced the next day, and, you know, they were trying to steal the thunder, you know, already. But Barnes & Noble has Barnes & Noble is the largest bookseller in the world. So, it's kind of hard to overshadow them, even if you have something that's a similar product.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but remember, those the competitors for them, they don't come out until, I believe, 2010. I know, I'm not sure if it was Entourage Edge or the Spring Alex. They're not planning on coming out until February 2010, maybe March. So they had to get their name out there, even though it's not going to do much to dent a big company like Barnes & Noble. They still had to make people aware of them.
Right.
Yeah, and Barnes & Noble is actually offering another e-reader as well, the Q, and that'll actually be unveiled at the CES conference on January 7th, I believe, in Las Vegas. It's going to basically be a reader that focuses on PDFs, PowerPoints, Word documents, things like that, but no Android functionality there. So there goes my interest.
Right, because there's all types of Android stuff it can do so far. You know, I like the Nook. I think it looks awesome. And as you guys mentioned, talking about, you know, sitting outside the store to get one, I thought, you know, I couldn't imagine doing that for a book reader. But then I thought, I don't want to go to all the way through the end of the year and not have mine. Am I going to actually go out and sit down and wait for one of these or pay somebody to get in line, or am I going to have to pre-order one of these and then eBay a second one? It's like a PlayStation 3 or Wii type thing here. I think you're right, Andrew, with Spring Design wanting to say something or getting out there in the same week as the Barnes & Noble one. Imagine them coming out in the beginning of the year saying, we have an Android-based book reader. We have something that's a, you know, dual screen, you know, similar. People are going to say it's a knockoff of the Nook. It's going to be, well, the Nook came first. It's got all that stuff and does it better. So I think you're absolutely right. They had to do something as quick as possible, and they knew, you know, going in that this is the window of opportunity is getting smaller every day.
Yeah, it was definitely a calculated move, because it's no random occurrence that three ebook readers all using Android would appear within 2 days of each other. So they were aware of the competition that was coming out, and they said, okay, we've got to come out and let people know about us right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're all dual screen.
Right. We go,
to me, it seemed a little cheesy being so on top of each other. I wasn't really like, oh, this company has a e-reader out. Oh, this company does too. I was more like, wow, I can't believe they all did that within like 3 days of each other. I mean,
right.
Cell phones come out, you know, at similar pace to one another, but usually within like a week or two, not like 24 hours.
Yeah.
Look at the Google and Bing, the Twitter thing, when they both said they were going to integrate social
media. Yeah, that was hilarious.
Results, Bing announced it at like 10 a.m. By the time I went to lunch, Google had said, yeah, we got it too. So it's very competitive. They just...
There's no coincidences when it comes to press releases and announcements. They're just...
No, there isn't.
There's a human being on the other end of that trigger that says,
yeah,
release that now. Get that to market. We all run a blog. You know, we all do blogging. We know how important timeliness is. It's one thing to have the news for somebody. It's another thing to be able to break it or to be able to say we were first. It's, you know, there's no coincidences here. We don't go months without hearing about an ebook reader, and then all of a sudden three people in a span of 70 hours or something like that say, yeah, we have an ebook reader. It's, you know, it's dual screen and it runs Android. Really? Amazing. It should be a new ebook reader announced every day at that rate. You know, everybody has the ability to, you know, integrate Android into it. I bet we could probably go another 90 days before somebody else announces an Android-based ebook reader.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm probably tomorrow have to report on another one. So.
So we're going to hear that release that to market.
Right.
Speaking of tomorrow, we do have an announcement for tomorrow morning that I'm not going to – if you follow all the Twitter streams and you follow some of the same people we do, I'm sure you can guess what it is, but we do have an announcement that's related to one of our favorite lock screen replacements. And we're not going to say what they're doing, but, yeah, it should be interesting.
So keep an eye on it. You've got something already –
Yeah, I already have it written up, guys. Yeah.
All right. So you guys get ready to pull the trigger all at the same time too, then, right? just
oh yeah,
coincidental.
Yep.
Let's see what else we have here in the agenda. It seems like I lost it. Okay. The Motorola Milestone was announced today by Motorola. It's essentially a GSM version of Droid, the Verizon Droid. It's got a couple of differences, obviously. One's CDMA and the other's GSM, but the Milestone comes with 8-gigabyte card versus a 16, does not have the Google Maps navigation. And actually, that's something that I did want to talk to you guys about as well, the Maps navigation. But Taylor, I saw on your blog too, same thing that, you know, crossed my mind was, why wouldn't they have that on there? But of course, it's, you know, designed for other countries. It could be a license, could be a map thing, could be, you know, Motorola wanting to do their own proprietary stuff.
Yeah. Well, for most European nations, Google still uses TeleAtlas. They use their map data, TeleAtlas and Navtech. So I don't know if their agreements with those map companies is what's preventing it, but that's just what I assumed was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and also you have to remember that Google Maps in Europe, they do have full European coverage, but most everything's been added within the last year and a half to 2 years. 2 years ago, Google Maps didn't exist in Europe. So they don't have the full database of what they have, you know, here in the U.S. I mean, they built it from the ground up here, you know, with all their search results built into everything. It's not the same, you know, if you go, you know, to a town in Italy and search on Google Maps to try to find a business. The integration with, you know, the local searches and everything isn't the same as what they have here in the U.S., and that could hinder, you know, releasing the Google navigation since it wouldn't include all the features as it would.
Yeah, right. It's beyond just map data. You have to remember that the new Google Maps includes stuff from government transit agencies and the crowdsourced information. It also has the language and the points of interest features that you mentioned. So it's not so easy to bring it to Germany because they don't have German language map support yet. They don't have Spanish or Portuguese language support yet for voice search. So it's going to take time for them to not only get Google Map data to blanket Europe, but also to get those language supports and those points of interest in there. When I was speaking with the Sherpa developers, they said that's also what's holding them back because they don't have partners in Europe to get the information that makes the app run.
Oh, that's a big difference too. Is that something I didn't think about with the voice guided, you know, stuff? We just assume that everybody speaks English, you know, and that the apps are just written one time, but it's all of these languages have to be built into it, and that's something that, you know, I think often gets overlooked.
But I think that was actually voice recognition, multiple language voice recognition was what was built into Android 1.5. That's why, you know, it took so long for it to release. Because I have a friend that has a British, he's in Britain, but he bought his G1, the Dream, in France, and his has French voice recognition. So I don't think that would be an issue, but, you know, local maps and everything, yeah, that's an issue because most of them are still based off of the U.S. map versions.
Right. No, I'm talking about the feature that says navigate to museum with King Tut display or whatever. Like the new Android versions have multiple language support, but as far as integrating it with all those things, maybe there's a local word, like a French word that is common in France, but they might not have integrated into the library for them to recognize for those unlabeled searches that the navigation app is able to perform.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I wonder if, let's see.
So, I mean, eventually over time, Google will be building it out, you know, as they're building out their map and, you know, indexing, you know, points of interest more and integrating it into their overall services. But I think that's one of the main reasons is that they weren't ready to roll it out, and it's not something that's an exclusive deal with Verizon. It's something that Google simply wasn't ready to roll out internationally at this point.
Right. So let's talk specifically about the map navigation that was announced last week at the same time as Android 2.0. What is your reaction to what the app can do or what the service can do, and obviously being free? Is this something that, you know, we saw the stock stuff between Garmin and TomTom, and, you know, could be related to a couple of different factors, but do you think these guys have anything to be worried about yet? Or should they start to consider, you know, the potential threat that's out there?
You know, I'm a pretty avid GPS user, and from all my experience with phone GPS applications, I mean, it's nice that they're connected to an always-on data network, but when you talk about just the performance and the experience, I have yet to see anything phone-based that can come close to anything else that's just a, you know, a normal satellite navigation device.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think it's going to prevent some people from going out and buying dedicated GPS units, but I think what it will kill or hurt are the ones that are already trying to do GPS apps for Android, you know, like Copilot, Telenav, Waze, mm-hmm. all those people. You know, it's like, what's the real, you know, reason to go out and purchase their services? I mean, you can have something similar for free. I mean, I think that the hardcore people... Go ahead.
I had the same conversation in some comments on an article that Andrew wrote about, you know, will the free apps replace the apps that you pay for on the market? But, you know, everyone is looking for something different. And even if you have a lot of people that are looking for a free application, you're going to have people that are very specific about what they want, like me, for example. And they may want something yeah. very particular with that navigation software and are willing to pay for it. I mean, if you use navigation a lot and you need something that has a lot of experience behind it, has been running for a long time, you know, longer than this new Google navigation, then chances are you're going to use something like Telenav if you're using your phone for that. Otherwise, you're going to buy a dedicated GPS.
I see the point to both of those arguments. But, like, with Copilot, I mean, I was down in Dallas 2 weeks ago, and I used Copilot and Telenav on my G1, and both of them got me lost with their turn-by-turn direction. I put in the name
of
the
business. Well, there's that, too.
I put in the name of the business, and it took me to the name of the hotel I wanted to, but on the opposite side of town. And so, like, it didn't recognize the zip code I put in with, so they put me in. I mean, every system's got its flaws, but I do definitely agree it's gonna cannibalize other turn-by-turn navigation apps in the Android market. But there's always gonna be a place for a dedicated unit in a car.
Right.
You know, you can't get past the simplicity of it. And personally, for me, I would love to use my phone as a dedicated GPS app, but when I'm in the car, I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm using my phone. I'm, you know, checking text messages. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And I want to use my phone as a phone, and I don't want it mounted on, you know, a little stand, you know, 6 inches, you know, out of my reach and, you know, not really able to use it as a phone. So, I mean,
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I agree, too. But, I mean, just look at how cheap the actual dedicated GPS units are. I mean, you can get a new TomTom for, you know, $79, I believe. Is there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I hope this does is it makes TomTom and Garmin realize, hey, there's another big player out there, and we need to do something different. I mean, they've been slapping, you know, throwing their their GPS units out the door the past couple of weeks, and there's really been nothing new to them. You know, there's, this one has a larger screen size, this one plays MP3 files. But, you know, other than that, they really haven't done anything revolutionary within the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Right.
So maybe they need to take a step back and say, we need to offer something different to stand out a little bit more.
Go
what I'm hoping better for everybody.
That...
Go Go ahead.
Yeah, one advantage that mobile GPS apps can have over the Google is that if they have downloadable maps, maybe they can benefit from that. Because when I go to North Carolina, T-Mobile coverage is abysmal. Like, it's out. I'm not even roaming. It's so bad out there sometimes. So maybe if I have I don't want to have to navigate around the place and lose the connection, because your original route might be saved, but if you go off the path or you make a stop and you need to search again, you might not be able to get back onto your network to search. So having a downloadable map might be able to give someone an advantage over Google since it's cloud-based. And also, mm-hmm. Nick, regarding your problem in Dallas, it's kind of common in the South that you get lost with some GPS units because maps aren't updated often enough, and we build a lot down here. Like,
yeah.
Miami 2 years ago is nothing resembling Miami today. So my GPS unit, when I use Copilot, I have to correct it sometimes because it doesn't realize that there's a new subdivision here, there's a new quicker route on this new road or a toll extension somewhere. So sometimes that's one place where Google might benefit because maybe their map data is updated more often.
Well, Google's map data is just as bad as everyone else's. That's where Waze
comes in. I think you're onto something there, Andrew. Yeah, I think you're onto something there. It's just like with reviewing apps that recommend restaurants and things like that that are no longer around because of the recession. I think that just as I requested on many of those apps, be able to submit, hey, this place does not exist anymore. It's not open. It hasn't been open for like 2 years. There should be the same thing on the GPS units, like make a suggestion or, you know, this needs to be checked. You know, I can't turn right here anymore. It says one way. If I turn right, I'm going to die.
Right.
Yeah, because I built a website for somebody and I listed their address in Google Maps, and Google Maps plotted them like 3 miles in the opposite direction. And I had to call Google and get them to correct that for the people because people were going to the wrong place and calling them like, yeah, I can't see your store. And then I had to call Google like, yeah, your map is wrong.
Thanks for driving me into that lake. That was really great. I had a really nice day.
What I'm hoping happens with this is that, I forget who mentioned it earlier, that these dedicated companies look at it and say, okay, we need to reevaluate our strategy. Be it, you know, Garmin's a member of the Open Handset Alliance now. So, you know, on one hand, I was like, ooh, burn, Google Maps, you know, is going to eat your lunch, you know, if you're not careful. But on the other hand, it was, okay, why did Garmin join the Open Handset Alliance? What do they have in this? What are they going to do with Android? You know, maybe they have something that's going to be more cloud connected. You know, they've already got the Nuva phone. You know, maybe whatever it is that they use with Android will be, you know, a mesh of that. You know, that's, you know, somebody else mentioned about, you know, Andrew said, you know, if you lose your connection, then what happens? Does it store it? Does it reroute you? And that's where companies like Waze, you know, they come into play, because it's something that your stuff is, you know, being recommended to you based off of other people and how things are working. So there's definitely a market for everybody, and it's just a matter of personal preference. But when your phone comes loaded with Google Maps Navigator, it makes it very hard for companies who have their own, you know, service like, you know, Sprint with their, you know, with Telenav and some of these partnerships that they have with other companies. It makes it very hard for them to get around that when Google's baking that into the platform.
Yeah, that's the old Microsoft advantage, the advantage of pre-installation.
Yep.
Well, too, when it comes to technology is always good enough when it's free. So, okay, Google Maps may not do one or two things that Garmin or my TomTom may do, but if it's free, most people will forgive it. I know I use Google Voice for work now, and I use a lot of the Google apps and a lot of the free software where 2 years ago I probably wouldn't even looked at it, but it gets better and better, and it still doesn't cost anything.
Right. Google Docs, same thing. You start out with, okay, it's very stripped down, but then when you ask yourself, how much of Excel am I really going to be using? And then over time, Google just continues to, you know, integrate some of those features into it, and all of a sudden you're like, well, you know what, I can do that on Google Docs now. I didn't used to be able to, but now I can. But when it starts out, it's free.
There's still some weird anomalies, but
yeah,
for the most part, it's fully functional. I mean, when I paste something from Google Docs into WordPress, for some reason the text is always white, no matter what computer I do it from. I have no idea why. And you can't, like, format the margins, and paragraph formatting doesn't work right, but it's definitely not good for anything you have to turn in anywhere, but if you just need to print out a document and you paste it in there, then it's very easy to use. And it's all stored in the cloud, so...
Right.
Have you tried the paste from Word feature in WordPress?
Yeah, I mean, I do use that, but it's still... If I try to do that with the Google Docs, it comes out white still. So.
Oh, okay.
Here's your solution. Don't use the WYSIWYG editor.
Right. Use it in the HTML. For the win.
All right, we'll tech support my retarded WordPress later.
Let's see. One of the other things here that I wanted to touch on before we start to wrap up here is right before we went on the air, Timo News posted some pictures of the Behold 2. Did you guys get a chance to see these yet, or did you see those come up on Twitter or on your feeds? The Behold 2, the first couple of pictures of that in the wild. I was concerned with it, over it, I guess I should say, is this going to have too much TouchWiz? Is it going to be not enough Android, or is it going to be, you know, stock Android with a cube? You know, what was that really going to be like? So I'm going to, I think somebody, yeah, I'll paste it in here real quick. Looking at it, it appears to be a lot more Android, a lot less TouchWiz. In fact, I don't see anything really that stands out to me as being TouchWiz at all.
It's just
and
the app drawer loading.
Right. And that's the only thing I can think of. It looks more Android to me.
From what I've seen, I mean, at the bottom of the screen, it's going to have four little menu items.
Mm-hmm.
That are going to be there at the bottom, just like TouchWiz. It's going to have a little button for the dialer, contacts, web, which are standard TouchWiz. The home screen, from what I saw, has three little bars at the top, which TouchWiz has, which shows which home screen you're on. Kind of what the Moto Blur has as well with their little dots and what the iPhone has. So that's a little TouchWiz feature. And then the, you know, the app launcher is on the right-hand side. So, I mean, it does have TouchWiz. We probably have to wait and see if it has those standard TouchWiz widgets. But other than those features, I'm not sure what else is going to be included.
Isn't there a screenshot of the widgets? Yeah, it does. It has some of the other, but nothing specific. I see what you're saying.
You know, my favorite feature about the Behold 2 has got to be Android 1.5.
Right. I knew it. I was waiting on that. You know what I also saw in here is the rumored $250 price point. That.
Oh, my God.
No, that's just plain ridiculous. Someone should walk into Samsung's office and slap them if that's true.
Slap $100 off the phone price while you're at it, man. That's ridiculous. God.
Well, I mean.
Oh, man.
If it's coming out at that price, that has something to do with Samsung, but T-Mobile also chooses how much they're subsidizing the phone by.
So, you know what I think would have been a little bit smarter for all these new phones is that if they would have just kept it with the stock Android, then they could have pushed the update out as you bought a phone. So if it came with some old version of the software, you could just update it before you took it home and not have to worry about figuring it out.
Right. Well, imagine being a new customer or a potential, you know, smartphone buyer this Christmas season, and you look at the different phones and you think, well, I can get the Droid for $199. The Android 2.0 has all these really sweet features. Or I could get the Behold 2 for $50 more, and it's got two OSs behind on it. Let me think about this for a while. You know, you can't sell that just based off of the carrier's, you know, the rate plans. That's not going to save you if this $250 is the actual price. Man, good luck.
Probably would be higher than
what's that? It's not even that.
I think it's going to be higher than that.
Yeah, there's not even an estimated time you can give the customer, like, oh, you should get your update. I have no idea. Maybe never.
Right.
I think, so we overanalyze the whole update thing. I mean, a while back, Scott, you were mentioning something about, you know, comparing Android to computers, you know, when
mm-hmm.
you're going to get your computer update. But you go buy a netbook, and, hey, Windows 7 is out, but most netbooks are still shipping with Windows XP.
I agree, but the differences between XP and Windows 7 are not nearly as significant as some of the improvements that are made in Android, being that it's such a young OS.
But the average consumer could care less. You
right.
go to 99% of the people who buy an Android phone, and you tell them which operating system they're running on or which version, and they will look at you and say, what?
Right.
I mean, yeah, it is a smartphone. It is, you know, a lot more than your regular feature phone, but the public doesn't care. I mean,
right.
us as bloggers and tech freaks and, you know, whatever labels you want to put on us, we care a lot. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
we talk loud and, you know, we complain a lot, but the public doesn't care.
Right.
I mean,
well, we're knee-deep in it.
I had friends with iPhones for 2 years, and he had never once updated his iPhone because he never plugged it into iTunes. Like, he had
him.
A feature-rich phone that he never plugged into iTunes, so he had no clue that he had 3 or 4 or 5 different updates, and he didn't care about it. He didn't install any apps on his iPhone. I mean, he just ran his, you know, plain music that he connected to Windows Mobile and got music over there, and I mean, there's so many things that we gripe about that the average consumer just couldn't care less about.
But that's what we're here for. That's why we have an Android show.
Yeah.
That's what we're here to talk about. We're here to gripe about that stuff.
We're here
and
to wake people up.
Inform and educate.
Exactly.
Well, it's like with the
griping.
It's like the Cyanogen thing. When there were, you know, how it overtook Twitter for a lot of us because it was the people that we follow and the people that, you know, are retweeting and tweeting at us. It was big news, but it never trended. And, it, you know, when you look at the number of active users or people who had the updater app on their phone, it's such a small percentage of how many people really have Android. But
it's changing because I have people
right.
in my classes that I would never expect to mention cell phone software to me ever, and they're saying things like, oh, I heard you write about Android. Do you know anything about that Motorola Droid thing coming out? Like, can you tell me about it? It's finally starting to hit mainstream conversation to where it's like, oh, yeah, I saw the iPhone commercial. Oh, yeah, and I saw this other commercial that was kind of like it but kind of dissed it.
Right.
They don't know what they're talking about, but it's getting there.
Yeah, I agree. I experienced the same thing at a lot of Halloween parties this weekend, believe it or not. I had a lot of people coming up to me. You know, one guy's talking to me, he's showing me his phone. I think he had, like, the Behold One, but he was showing me how he had hacked it, and he'd put, like, an iPhone theme on it and a Pre theme on there. And I started talking about Android, and then next thing I know, his wife's coming talking to me because she's going to update her phone, and she'd play with the MyTouch, and then another guy comes and talks to me. He had play with the Hero, and you are right that it is, you know, the people, I'd say maybe the younger age group that play with a lot of phone, it's definitely on the radar.
Right. I have a friend
who
turned.
If you're a T-Mobile customer, you walk into a T-Mobile store and half the store has MyTouch banners.
Oh, yeah, MyTouch.
There's like 5
yeah.
displays up.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
I have a friend who took my old T-Mobile Wing, with, I think it was Windows Mobile 5.0, I think at the time was what it was when I gave it to him. He took that and he had flashed all kinds of crap on that phone, and it looked nothing like the phone I gave him, you know, inside. And every week he was coming in with something new that he found on a forum that, you know, he had just been playing around with it. And I think as more younger people get into smartphones, you know, they are becoming more educated in what they can do with them, and they have less of a fear of bricking these things. And, you know, with the advent of forums and message boards, people can, you know, get the help that they need quickly, especially with Twitter. You know, somebody look at their phone, they can say, what do I do? You know, how do I restore this? What do I do with this? You know, it's something that I think people will start to, you know, wake up a little bit to is, you know, I want my phone to be able to do this, but unfortunately it's got this OS. How do I get, you know, how do I get it updated to that, or how do I flash it with this? These are all conversations that I did not anticipate having, you know, a year ago.
Well, I think a lot of what drives that is that the smartphones are becoming the personal computers of this generation. And I know the other day I watched that Engadget podcast show with Steve Ballmer. His focus is mobile big time. He said there's 300 million PCs, but only 150 million smartphones out there. He said that's where we got to go. It's not going to happen with netbooks and laptops and desktop computers. Now, that's where the new frontier is. And these mobile smartphones are basically personal computers. And I think they're going to continue. I tell my 8-year-old son, I said, man, kind of stuff you're going to see when you get old, it's going to be amazing. You know, he likes to play around with the G1s around the house and stuff.
Well, it's the first, it could be their first personal internet device, you know, rather than, you know, having their own computer in the house or their own laptop, netbook. It could be their first experience with the internet might come mobile now, which is really strange to think about, you know, a few years ago.
It's frightening.
It is. I remember when the internet was literally message boards, and, you know, in 95, 96, it blew my mind that I could go on some topic, and it would be, what's your favorite Star Wars character? And I would put Chewie, and then I would come back tomorrow and be able to point at it and say, dude, that's me. I typed that. I'm on the internet. You know, now it's, everything is instant. There's pictures, video. I mean, you just, ridiculous. That's a different topic for a different podcast altogether. So we just crossed the 90-minute mark here. I don't really have anything else that I wanted to get into, you know, topic-wise. I did want to bring up the question of the week. This week the question is, as I mentioned at the top of the show, who do you think is handling Android the best so far? Let me grab that from the poll here, put that in the chat room. And the question, you know, you could choose two this week. The answers to choose from so far are HTC, Samsung, Motorola, Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile. Real quick, go around the virtual table here. And let me know who you think is handling Android or has done the best job with Android so far. We'll start with you, Andrew. Who do you think?
Okay, for carrier, I'm saying Verizon without a doubt. Even though I love T-Mobile, they were the first one to adopt it and it took a big risk. But no one has done the amount of visibility increase that I've seen. I'm getting people that are like, oh, yeah, you're right for Android. What's this new commercial going on? I haven't seen anyone raise the profile of an Android device as much as Verizon has. And for a manufacturer, I'm going to say HTC just because they're making the most phones, and they were the first to really put a dent in customizing Android with Sense.
Sam, who would you say?
I'd say the same thing Taylor just said. So Verizon's putting their money where their mouth is, and HTC's bringing up the phones. Although I've not played with a Motorola Droid yet, but I think as a company, HTC is what they're doing, putting a lot of the marketing behind it. And then Verizon, man, I wish T-Mobile was the carrier out front right now, especially with them having the first Android device, but I just don't see it. They're coming out with a lot of them, but nothing premier yet, but I think that has less to do with the carriers in it than it may do with Google. So
right.
Verizon and HTC.
I would say I'm a little torn on the carrier because I think that T-Mobile has done the most up to this point, not actually promoting Android, but getting it out there by carrying HTC phones. But I think that Verizon will do the most for it in the future with their ad campaign hyping it up. And as far as manufacturer, I would definitely say HTC since they made the two first phones and got Android out there into the hands of the public.
Gotcha. Taylor?
This is an easy one for me. I would say, first of all, you know, if it wasn't for T-Mobile, you know, none of us would be here doing this podcast. I got to give it up to T-Mobile for taking a chance and being the first ones out of the gate. I just love being a T-Mobile customer. I love the new rate plan. They got the best deal going for any of the big carriers. Their 3G network, if you can get it, you know, I know it's the biggest 3G network, but the 3G network where it is available is super fast, and it's only going to get faster towards the end of this year when they're supposed to roll out their HSPA 7.2. So I'm super excited about the faster 3G, and I'm a big fan of the new rate plans. I switched my plan last week, and I really have not one negative thing to say about T-Mobile. Handset makers, again, I mean, I guess you can just call me a fanboy here, but I got to go with HTC. You know, I've owned the G1 and the MyTouch. Loved both devices, you know. Of course, they have their shortcomings, but I've had great experience with both phones. And my favorite thing about HTC, when you know, whenever you're talking about the future or just comparing them with other handset manufacturers, I really think HTC phones, for someone like me, someone that likes to hack their phone and mod their phone, HTC phones have, you know, they just have a history of, and, you know, of being hackable. That's what I love about HTC phones. You know, I'm sure all the other Android phones out there will eventually get hacked, but, you know, I've never seen anything that was as hackable as the HTC phones that I've owned, so... I love the combination of HTC and T-Mobile.
Very good. So far, looking at the poll, HTC and T-Mobile seem to be HTC is in the lead at 35%, T-Mobile at 27%. This is after just under 200 votes, so just in this evening. It's becoming pretty obvious here, Verizon catching up quickly, but... Samsung hasn't received a vote yet, which is kind of surprising. Sony Ericsson has 2 write-in votes already. They've actually got 1%, where Samsung doesn't have any. So we'll see how that goes over the next week. Let me look up last week's results and see what we had here. The question was, what's most important to you when you choose your new handset? And the options were, you know, the handset specs, monthly bill, out-of-pocket phone costs, contract or no contract, data speeds, minutes. No surprise here that minutes was not even voted once. I think it's become a non-issue for almost everybody out there. It's not a concern with your daytime, you know, talk time. Handset specs ran away with it at 62%, which was, you know, just the people that I talked to personally, everybody said that. Again, this may go back to where we are as people who are immersed in the handsets every day. We talk about specs and compare one to the other. It does come down to the hardware that, you know, one over the other. But it's good to see that people understand, at least our visitors understand, that there is a difference between one phone and the other, and not just the fact that it's either got a keyboard or doesn't. It could be, you know, processor, memory, expandability, you know, all that stuff. So very cool. If you guys get a chance, you're just listening to the podcast here, go to androidguys.com. Right at the top, the question of the week, again, is who is handling Android the best so far? And that'll run through next Monday, and we'll get the final results at the end of the show. Want to wrap up here. Do we have any announcements for any of your sites here? Nick, anything going on over there?
Actually, HTC Source, there's nothing going on, but I have been sourced by a British company to start another Android blog. So more Android, the better. The blog is going to be androidrelease.com. I started with a post yesterday and another one today. And it's mainly going to be covering just handsets and the OS, not going to go too deep into mid-devices, netbooks, and any of the other stuff. So mainly handsets, and the blog is going to be mainly focused around European releases as opposed to the U.S. So instead of talking about the Motorola Click. I'll be talking about the Motorola Dext instead, since that's the European name, but mainly focusing around the European market and what's going to be released over there as opposed to the U.S. market. So it'll have a little bit different than what we see on all of your guys' sites, which is good.
That's really great, Nick. Like,
that's awesome.
It's really great. Yeah. I mean, you'll be able to provide us with some European info, too, so we'll have another perspective.
The world
might be great.
I just need to get over to Google to return some European search results as opposed to my U.S. search results, because that doesn't work too well.
Right.
Well, that's awesome, man. Congratulations, and I look forward to keeping up with that. So, again, the website is Android Release. Let me put that in the chat room for everybody. And this is actually the time of the show when if you guys have Twitter accounts or projects, websites, blogs, you want to share them, drop them in there, get to know each other a little bit. Andrew, anything specific that you wanted to talk about over at Androinica?
Yeah, I'm getting back into the habit of doing Android apps alert posts. It's basically on Twitter, when you go and you want to let people know about new apps that are out, you just say, wow, I really love Tweedroid Pro or whatever, and you tag it with hashtag Android apps, all one word, and I take the best recommendations and make a post out of it. The new one, I'm trying to do it in video, just playing around, showing some video examples. So check it out. Let me know what you guys think. Have some suggestions that you want to make in the future. I just posted the link in the chat room right now, and you can go to androidica.com. It's the first article you'll see.
Excellent. It's amazing to me to see what people recommend. There's, you know, my wife starting to ask me questions all over. As, you know, what's a good Twitter application? What's a good Facebook? And it's like, wow, these are things that I took for granted or that, you know, I'm already beyond, but it's every day somebody new wants to learn or, you know, wants to be educated on what are the best applications. So that brings up an interesting point. Taylor, you had mentioned something the other day over G-Talk about possibly, you know, the Android Awards again, the second round of that or the second contest.
Yes.
I think it's definitely something that could do very well now that I think, you know, not only have we all grown, but Android in general is just really starting to pick up steam, and I think it's something that people could really rally behind. So I think it's something that we should start to piece together, maybe the second Android Network Awards.
Yes, that is definitely going to happen. We don't have an exact time frame, but we are looking at the very beginning of next year. We talked about trying to cram it in this year, but we really wanted to do it upright this time and give it the attention and planning that it deserves, because it was really kind of rushed, you know, last time. It was a successful event. It was a fun promotion, but, you know, we can do it up 10 times better. And
right.
I know with, you know, support, and with Nick and with Andrew and everybody else, and I've even talked with Rob from Android. Sounds like he's on board. So it sounds like this will really be, you know, maybe we can get Vincent and Android community, if you're listening. but, yeah, it really seems like this can be something that the whole community can get behind, and it can be a joint event, you know, among all the developers, all the blogs, and the users. So look for that in 2010. But we will be posting whenever we have some official information.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now there's none. But whenever we do have information, we will definitely put some press releases out there ahead of time so that we can distribute that among all the sites and, you know, just be very visible and open so that everybody knows what's going on with that. But, yeah, that is something definitely important to.
We'll do it as OTA.
Was there ever a number of how many sites participated last time?
It was in the 60s, I believe.
You in the mix,
I believe it was 61. I don't remember the exact number. It was
between
60 and 61.
A dozens of small blogs and independent sites that helped promote it. But I think the main number that we were putting out there was we had, I think, just under 40,000 votes that were cast. But, you know, I think this time we should be able to get, you know, several hundred thousand. So
yeah.
I'm being a way bigger turnout this time. We're actually going to try and have an actual Android application in the market that will be used, you know, not kind of like the ADC2 app, but not really. It's going to be way better than that.
Followed through.
It will not, yeah, it will not suck. Not that the ADC2 app sucks, but.
No, it should be, it's exciting to think about what we could do with it now with the pool that each of us has, you know, picked up over the last, you know, few months since the first challenge or the first network awards and learning how we could handle it on the back end and even on the front side, you know, how it's distributed, how it's, you know, promoted. There's plenty of stuff that can be done to, you know, gain it the extra visibility. But I think Android already has considerable visibility as compared to, you know, previously, now that there are other carriers, other handsets involved, and seeing the number of people who are just, you know, tweeting about and talking about their applications. It's something that we learned is that the developers took it very seriously, and I see no reason why they wouldn't take it even more seriously the second time around. This could be a lot of fun.
Yes, and we will definitely be making it beneficial to both the developers and the users who participate. So hopefully we can, I'm already talking with some people, but hopefully line up a lot of sponsors for this, get a lot of benefits going on, prizes.
So you promise not to leave us, have us vote a whole bunch and then leave us hanging for like 2 months?
Who would ever do that?
and
looks like
voting.
Go ahead.
I just was going to ask if I still get a minute for some more plugs.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know, we talked about that, but plug anything you've got at Android and me going on right now.
Okay, real quick. This is Taylor talking for the new listeners. Our site is androidandme.com. Just another blog, just like androidguys.com. Cover the same thing, but just different angle on some stories. Coming this week, we will be launching something we're calling the And Me Network. It's going to be a collection of a bunch of, I don't know if I'd call them mini sites, but it's going to be several independent sites. So each one's going to have their own domain, but they will still be part of a larger site, and we will also pull on their content over on androidandme.com. So we're going to have a lot of special niche for different types of users and different communities. So that is the thing to look out for this week. The first one is actually going to be called Droid Week. That's droidweek.com. That site is going to center on applications. But I don't want to leak or share all the details right now, but if you want to go over to our forums, which is forums.androidandme.com, you might be able to find a sneak preview of that, along with some other stuff. So, just be on the lookout. We have a lot of stuff coming up.
Very cool. Very cool. I'm anxious to see that. Are you guys going to incorporate, I remember seeing when you guys were doing the road trip, I saw a tweet, I think, that you guys purchased a domain out in the middle of the desert and we're going to do a wallpaper-type theme site. Is that going to be in the fold of this?
Yes, that is one of those that's coming up. That's called Droid Style. So Droid Style is going to be like a developer community. It's going to focus on design and development. So that's going to be a whole completely different angle on the Android world. I'll just shut my mouth. We got some other exciting stuff. We also have a last bit here. We have a, you know, I'll share this because if someone else wants to go out and do it, more power to you. But we are also planning a Android site for just for girls. So that will be something that you'll see over the next couple months here.
Oh, I'm sorry. We beat you to it.
Oh, yes, but we have a female-friendly domain name.
So do we.
As do we.
awesome.
Actually, we have two because I went ahead and registered another one.
Well, there you go. We can just partner up and help promote each other. We love Android guys and Android gals.
That
sounds like a plan.
It's all, you know what, the rising tide lifts us all. Every time somebody says, I saw this over here, or you know that guy, or, you know, it's just, it makes me happy that people are just aware of
it. God, I hope it stays like this forever.
Isn't it a warm, fuzzy feeling to do this every week, get in the chat room, hang out with people?
And have nobody bickering over who has what news? Yeah, it's fantastic.
That's, you know, and that was something I worried about early on when I started the site, was like, okay, there's like me, Fandroid, and I don't know who else. And then as it went on, a couple people showed up, and I was like, oh, man, there's really starting to be some competition. A year ago, there were a bunch of G1 sites and Android sites, and this is going to really stink because it's going to become real territorial, and people are going to be, you know, I only go here, I don't care for this site or whatever. But it's really, I love reading everybody else's stuff, and it's like, I don't feel obligated to post everything anymore. It's like, you know what, we do what we do, and you guys are smart enough to find the news elsewhere. I don't expect Gizmodo to report everything that Engadget does. They do similar things, and I let them, you know, I visit both. So that's what I hope for, is that Android's big enough that everybody gets to see something somewhere or take away something that they like from each site. And I'm really enjoying how each site is starting to not do Me Too type stuff. People, you know, their own original content is what really helps them all stand out. So,
yeah,
lots of fun.
I love it. I love the competition. I mean, y'all, you motivate me every day. I enjoy reading your site all the time.
The same here, man. Every time I read your feed, but when I go to the site, I look at it, I'm like, oh, man, these guys, I need more time. I can't keep up with this guy. It's good to have that motivation. Otherwise, it would just be nobody would have anything fun to talk about, and Android wouldn't be what it is. I think we all help play a role in making Android as cool and use, you know, community based as it really is. So
this is sounding like a group hug time,
isn't it? Virtual group hug. We're down to the last 2 or 3 minutes here. Wanted to thank everybody for joining us again. If this was your first time joining the Android Guys podcast, thank you very much. We did have a record week last week. We mentioned at the top of the show about 6,000 plus listens over the last week. While that might not be near what some of these other podcasts might do, it's a ridiculously large number to me, and I thank everybody for that.
And we love you all, and thank you for listening to us.
It's in that when we, you know, the first couple of weeks we did it, we had 50, 100. You know, 200 listens in 1 week, it just jumped up to like 1,500. It was like, wow, just like, you know, starting out the site all over again. There's that many people that want to listen to us. So hopefully, you know, we continue to grow these numbers. And as we get more handsets, more carriers on board, you know, we get more people joining the show, listening, and just kind of spreading the word. So thanks, everybody. If you want to find out more, again, go to androidguys.com. And again, you can also go to HTC Source, androidandme.com, and Andronica. Those are the sites for the guys that joined us this evening. Thanks to all of you again for participating in the chat room and for joining us here on the show. We will be launching a podcast-only site here probably in the next week or two, just a matter of getting that finalized, but it should be something fun for everybody who specifically want to get their news that way. So with that, I'm going to wrap up and go to the canned outro here. We will see you guys all next week. I'll leave the chat room open for anybody who wants to hang out. We're not going to do the wave again this week. I think we crashed wave. It's just not as fun as it could have been. If you guys
wave
part of that.
Wave is not meant for 40 plus people. Wave is meant for like 2 to 5.
Yeah, at least so far. So we'll leave this chat room up and hang out, answer any questions you guys might have, and just kind of get to know each other. So we will see you guys again next week.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Well, that's the end of another Android Guys podcast. I want to thank everybody for stopping by. If you want to keep an eye on Android news and opinion, go to androidguys.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at androidguys.com. Check the iTunes directory for our podcast as well as Blog Talk Radio. Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Awesome. Okay, that's what I had to say. Bye.